Well, good morning, everybody. Over the past few weeks, we have been journeying through the letter to the church in Ephesus from Paul. And we've looked at chapter 1, we've looked at chapter 2 last week with Jesse, and this morning we're going to open up to chapter 3. But before we do that, let's pray. Lord, we come before you, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for its direction and its truth, for how it is living and active, for how it breathes into our life, Lord. We pray as we open up this letter and look at chapter 3, Lord, that we would have eyes to see, we would have ears to hear, we would have feet to follow wherever you are leading us this morning. We pray this in your name. Amen. So let's look at chapter 3, starting at verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has been revealed by the Spirit of God's to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel the Gentiles are heirs, together with Israel, members together of one body and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which of ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. So when we come to this letter, as we have over the past few weeks, it's important to keep in mind that it is a letter. The letters in the early church were written for two purposes: encouragement and correction. And here, when we come to the book of Ephesians, the letter to the churches in Ephesus, we come to a letter that is, on a surface level, full of encouragement. Paul is encouraging this church, or churches in Ephesus. But there's this kind of undertone of correction. We saw, as we began this series a couple weeks ago when I preached our introductory sermon, that Paul poses a question to the church in Ephesus. What sort of community are you? And I ended that sermon by asking Sunnyside, what sort of community are we? And I asked and I challenged us, all of us, me included, to have that kind of in the back of our minds as we worked through this series. And Pastor Paul, the next week, did a great job of explaining further that challenge. And then last week, Pastor Jesse did a great job of explaining further what it means to be a community, a family in God. And here as we come to this section of Paul's letter, we see again he's asking this question, what sort of community are you? He talks about this mystery that's been revealed, this mystery of God bringing everybody into relationship with him, into community, into family with him. Not just a select few people, but the whole world. He says the church, this is our mandate, our call, is to celebrate this. It's to not simply just tell the whole world this, but to tell the whole universe this, that God wants to be in relationship with creation and his people. And then we come to the very end. This prayer that Paul prays. And this is where I really want us to dig deep this morning. So as my wife told me just yesterday, let's put on our helmets and our life jackets and buckle in for a bit of a bumpy ride, but a good ride. So let's read this section again. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. A couple weeks ago, we had Pastor Matt here in person to share with us. And he shared on a different passage, not on Ephesians. But he said something that struck me. He said, I just want to get out of the way of this passage, to let it just speak. And that's how I feel this morning, is I just want to get out of the way of these verses. And let us just, I'm a coffee person, as you know, so let us just percolate or breathe in or marinate in these few five verses. Because there's so much truth, so much wisdom, and so much challenge for us. And actually a challenge that makes us uncomfortable, doesn't it? As we look at it, Paul starts by saying, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Paul has just finished, you know, this whole section, as we've looked at, inviting all of us to be in a community with God, inviting us to be in a relationship with God, talking about what that kind of looks like and what that means. And then he says, where does that bring me? That brings me to a place to kneel before God, to submit to him, to give him authority. Paul is saying, let me get out of the way and let God speak fully and truly and clearly. To kneel was an action of submission, an action of giving worth. And so Paul is talking to these people, this church in Ephesus, and he's calling them as well, in his words, to kneel before the Father as a community, as a family before God. And this morning, we are called to kneel before the Father, to come before him as the community of believers and of Christians, as followers, as brothers and sisters, and to submit to him. He continues on and he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And this is very key and important for us to understand. Through his Spirit in your inner being.
that as we submit to God, as we come to Him, we need to open ourselves to let the Spirit dwell in us. Let the Spirit guide us. Let Him be our guide and our lead in our lives. Because this is so important, brothers and sisters. If we don't have this, what are we? We may come to church on Sunday, we may gather, but if the Spirit is not indwelling in us, if we are not submitting to God, we are a lost community. We need to let Him come and live in us, strengthen us with His power, with His inner being. And as the Spirit comes and indwells in us, Christ then makes His home in our heart. As we become a community of believers, a community of God, Christ begins to set His home in our hearts. We begin to live for Him. And things begin to happen. We begin to take off our lenses of living and put on His lenses of life. We begin to walk in His way as He leads us, as we live and breathe in Him. It's interesting that the Greek word for spirit means breath. Are we breathing in the Lord? Are we letting His breath fill our lungs and fill us? And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. Let that sink in, being rooted and established in love. Sam and I have lots of plants around our house. And sometimes we have to switch plants from one pot to the next because the plant gets too big for the pot and it needs a bigger pot. And there was this one time where we took a plant and we put it in a pot and it set down roots, but the roots didn't get established. And the plant eventually died. You see, when you look at plants, they set down their roots, but they need to be established in order to live fully. In our backyard garden, we have hostas, and hostas are, I think the word is annual, right, Sam? It's annual plants. She's going like this. Like plants, no, perennial. There we go. See? Yeah, they come back every year. I'm not a gardener. But we have hostas, and hostas are perennial plants. The surface, you know, when about this time, our hostas are not looking very happy, and they're dying. But next summer, next spring, the hostas will pop back up. Because their roots aren't just rooted, their roots are established. When we moved, we took those hostas from our old house to our house that we live in presently. And when we took them out of the ground, there wasn't just kind of this little hole left in the ground. There was this great big gaping hole. Because there was this very intricate root system that was established in the ground. It wasn't simply rooted. And this is what Paul is getting at. Oops, my finger hit the keys. It wasn't simply just rooted, but it was established. That every year these hostas come back. And this is what Paul is getting at to the church in Ephesus. He's saying, don't just be rooted. Be established in love. as the Spirit fills us, as we breathe in the Spirit, as we submit to the Father, as Christ comes and begins to make a home in our lives and in our hearts, and as we begin to set down roots in Him, Paul is saying, let us also be established in Him. It's sort of like when Jesus gives the parable of the seeds. He says a farmer goes and he's spreading all these seeds around, and he gives different examples of all these different kinds of seeds, and he says there are these seeds that root, but when times get tough, when the weeds show up, they get choked out and they die. They're rooted, but then he says there are these seeds that are rooted and established. And this is what Paul is getting at. Sunnyside, we need to be like hostas. We need to be established in His love, to dig deep into Him. Where is He leading you? How is He establishing you in Him? Then we come to this part, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. To know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. So Paul has just said, we need to submit to God. Give to His authority. Allow the Spirit to dwell in us. Allow Christ to establish His home in us. To not simply be rooted, but be established in Him. So that we may grasp how wide and long and deep is the love of Christ. And he says, this love that surpasses knowledge, we just sang a song called Reckless Love. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And reckless in today's day and age kind of just means like, reckless, and I'm doing whatever I want. I'm not going to throw that off. I actually, side note, I did this one analogy where I did a similar thing where I was talking about recklessness, and I actually had picked up my Bible and I threw it across the room, and my Bible actually snapped in half because I overused my Bible. So I was like, I could throw this off, but I don't want to like see stuff that's already falling off. So anyways, that's just a side note. Squirrel. But that's not the sort of recklessness that song is talking about. It's talking about this is what Paul is saying right here. The love that surpasses knowledge. The reckless love that makes no sense. Why? Why would God love me and who I am? When we look at ourselves, we think, why? The God of the universe, who says, I know every hair on your head. I who knit you in your mother's womb. I love you. Let that sink in for a second. This love that makes no sense, this love that is wide and long and high and deep and never ending. And God, through Paul to the church in Ephesus and for us today, is saying, I want you to be my community. I want you to come and accept that love. Allow my Spirit to breathe into you. Allow my Son to make His home in you. Let roots start to grow and be established in me. That I may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. That's intense. And sometimes when we begin to let that happen, when we begin to let ourselves be established in God, He takes us places. And He does things through us that we could never expect. As we begin to let Him lead us in our lives. So as we think about what sort of community are we? Are we a community that is submitting to the Father? Are we saying, God, you know what? I'm following you. I go to church on Sunday. I read my Bible. I pray. But ask yourself, are you submitting to Him? Are you letting Him lead your life? Are you like Paul as he comes in this prayer, kneeling before God? Going, I might be, yes, I might be a part of this community, but am I moving with the community of God? Am I walking in step with the community of God? Sam and I have this mirror. It's a huge mirror that's like bigger than this. I don't know what your sister was thinking when she gave it to us. And every time we get to a new place, Sam's like, I want that mirror in our living room. And it's this huge mirror, and it's so awkward. It's got these like little two hooks on either side. And so we have to each hold the sides and like kind of, you know when you're trying to hang something, and let's just picture this is something, and the wall's like right here, and you're like, I have to get it on the hook, but it's just so difficult to get it on that hook. Because you're like, I need to see it, but it needs to be flush with the wall, and it's just so difficult. And Sam and I, every time, are going, we're trying to hang this mirror, and we end up arguing. Because Sam has a certain idea of how to hang it, and I have a certain idea of hanging it, and like a stereotypical man, I'm like, I know how to hang this, because I'm a man. Even though I'm not much of a handyman, surprise. That's why I'm a pastor and not a construction worker. Although I did work full-time maintenance at Tyndale. I don't know why they hired me. Anyways, again, squirrel. I don't know what's up with squirrel. This morning. Yeah. Well, why I'm talking about this is Sam and I, in a marriage, we're in a community together. But when sometimes we hang that mirror, I have my own way of wanting to hang the mirror, and Sam has her own way of wanting to hang the mirror. And then one day we went, click, maybe if we work together in step, in unison, this mirror could be hung a lot more quickly than in an hour. Probably it could be hung in 5 minutes. She's looking at me, she's going, yeah, Nate. It'd be, but it never is. But once we work, not only in community, but in step with each other, the mirror gets hung. Once we are in community with God, are we walking in step with Him, in tandem with how He is leading, no matter how uncomfortable it may be? Even if we're thinking, but this is how I've always lived my life, this is how we've always done this, and God is just saying, but I want to bring you on a whole other journey that's going to change your life. Are we a community that submits to the Father? Are we being led by the Spirit in walking in tandem with God? Are we being led to wherever the Spirit is leading us? And how the Spirit is leading us? And I don't know about you, but when I begin to think through these questions, I begin to get a little uncomfortable. Because when God starts to work, He starts to do things that we can never imagine. But we have to trust Him. We have to allow Him to come and dwell in us. Are we a community that is living in Christ? Are we simply not just doing work for God, but are we doing work with God? There's a big difference there. Are we rooted and established in His love? Are we letting His love permeate our thoughts and our actions, our words, in every little bit of our being? Are we like a hosta that no matter what, always has its roots dug deep in Christ? And are we being led by that love no matter what, wherever that love will bring us? Are we a community set aside? Are you a member of a community that is submitting to the Father, that is led by the Spirit, that is living in Christ, that is rooted and established in His love, and being led by that love no matter what? Let's pray. Lord, we come before You. And I pray, Lord, that as I said at the beginning of this sermon, that we would get out of the way of this passage and allow this passage to speak into our lives. Lord, may we breathe You in deeply this morning as we continue to worship You.